welcome back to Sass, Stories, and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, in this is episode 238. And Brian, it's your birth month. It's May.
Yes. It's, you know, it's come fast. We're almost halfway through the year now.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, we're entering, you know, the fifth month of the year. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'll be turning 29 sometime in I guess less than a month, which is
25 days.
It's coming, you know. I just remember when I was 20. Now I'm 29. What happened to my 20s? I don't know.
Well, the good news is it's May, and so the Seattle weather has started to turn a corner. This past Saturday was super nice. Went out to brunch with my parents, and then it was like over 70 degrees.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was the first time I decided not to wear a coat when going outside.
Yeah.
Put on shorts. As soon as I had the opportunity, I put on shorts. And so far, you know, it was projected to just, you know,
be rainy.
Be rainy, but it's kept the, you know, like 60 degree or above, you know, temperatures. Yeah. And
pretty nice this week, honestly.
Yeah, it's making me very happy. But now with the warmer weather comes the consideration of, everyone better make sure their AC unit's working and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's getting a little hot in here.
Yeah, because, you know, it still surprises me that, you know, Seattle, for the most part, you know, aren't built with, you know, AC units.
Yeah.
You know, in their, you know, apartments.
Or houses.
Or houses. So everyone has to get their own fix somehow. They have to stay cool. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Also, this past week, I went to a mug making class with Emily. And it was with, it was like a pottery class. So basically, you got like a slab of clay and formed a mug, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. And then not only that, then we decorated the mug. On the outside, I put like texture. And then on the inside, the instructor had all of these like transfer paper things. So there's like a bunch of different patterns. So I had one with like flowers on the inside. It'll be like blue. Super cool. I didn't understand what the class was really going to be, like what we were going to be doing. Cause I saw a picture and I was like, oh, I can't draw like that for like a pattern on the inside. But no, it was just transfer paper. So you just roll it on with a, tool, and then you just have a design on the inside of the mug, and I put it on the bottom of the mug and also on the handle. So that should be done in a few weeks. So I'm excited to see how they turn out. And it was very fun. I haven't done that many like pottery type classes, but I enjoyed it.
And is this mug, will it have like glaze on it?
Yeah, that's happening
okay.
Right now.
Okay, so you'll theoretically be able to drink out of it then?
Yeah. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes pottery, you know, it's just out there and you don't use it.
But really, when you call it a mug, then you think, oh, it's food safe.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Then also, extremely exciting announcement, our house has walls now, official walls, just drywall. And these are interior walls, obviously, because we've already talked about the exterior walls. So making really good progress. Next up, they are going to be putting texture on the walls and painting, and then putting cabinets in. So very exciting stuff. We actually have walls. You can actually see it coming together.
Yeah, you can see, you know, we used to be able to just go in like from one end of the house to the other.
You see through a bathroom, a living room, a hallway. When we first got it, like it was just nothing. Like you could just see straight to the backyard. There was nothing there.
Right.
When we took a picture with the sold sign, it was just like there was nothing behind us. We're like, we bought nothing. But now there's stuff behind where we were standing, so it's super exciting. Other exciting stuff for Seattle sports?
Yes. So, you know, I think the Kraken have... When did they first... I don't know.
This is their second season.
Second season only. And they are doing a lot better this season than the first season. They actually made the NHL playoffs. And they actually just finished the first round of the NHL playoffs.
And they beat the Stanley Cup reigning champion, the Colorado Avalanche, 4-3. So
right. So they you know, they had a 7-game series. It went to game 7. Mm-hmm. I only got interested in it game 6. Because I'm like, oh my goodness, they're actually winning.
Well, we watched them last week.
Well, last week was game 6.
Oh, I thought it was earlier
than that. Well, it was... the Kraken were up against the defending champions, like you said, that Colorado Avalanche, and they were up the series 3-2, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh my goodness, they might actually win. I've always been like holding my breath. I'm like, okay, well, you know, they're new to the playoffs and this is the defending champion, so they have to be good, right? And so game six is when I tuned in, and unfortunately they lost. And then game seven came along when I wasn't paying attention at all. And they advanced. They advanced and they knocked off the defending champions. So this will be the first time.
It's pretty cool. It's only the second year of the Kraken being a team in the NHL.
Yes. And I believe this is also the first time that an NHL team has defeated the previous champions in the first round.
Mm.
So
wow, I didn't know we were that good.
Yes. So I guess we are that good.
So next up, they're playing the Dallas Stars, the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I read that Alaska Airlines is selling $99 tickets to Dallas to get people to support the Kraken in Dallas.
Oh.
But anyways, as of the recording of this podcast, which is Wednesday, May 3rd, the Kraken are leading the series 1-0.
Yes, they went on to win the first game of the second round as well. So you can start getting excited. It's not a fluke.
You just jinxed it.
Yeah.
By saying it's not a fluke.
But we've had a pretty good last year or so for Seattle sports teams in general. You know, the Mariners made the playoffs for the first time in forever, and then they won the first round too.
Yeah.
So I'm sure everyone's on the highest of highs right now, and it's pretty cool.
We're gonna be a hockey city if this keeps going.
Yeah, I haven't seen a complete game all the way through watching on TV. I've gone to one Kraken game
last year,
and that was when they weren't that good. So I might have to catch a game on TV all the way through. Watch it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. I don't really understand all the rules of hockey,
so neither
it's a little hard to follow. I mean, I enjoyed watching the games when I've been, but I don't exactly understand what the rules are, but it's fun to watch, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the exciting Seattle sports news. These Seattle sports news things don't come around too often, it doesn't seem like, so pretty exciting.
Yeah, and now that the Kraken are, a part of Seattle sports, we'll have something else to talk about besides the Mariners, the Seahawks, or the Sounders. Those mm-hmm. are, I think, the main three.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it's really neat to see Seattle succeed.
Yeah.
Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab, comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today.
Now, yesterday, May 2nd, the Writers Guild of America went on strike because they failed to reach a new contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. So basically, they are seeking a number of changes to their current contract, including increased compensation for streaming content, improved healthcare benefits, and more job security for writers. So this is going to affect tons and tons of shows. Not reality shows, but any written show. The strike is going to have many shows delayed or canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time this happened was in 2007, 2008, and that writer's strike lasted 100 days.
That's a long time.
That's over 3 months long.
Imagine waiting for your favorite TV show and it being 3 months late because you're expecting it
or
to
come canceled.
Out or being canceled altogether. Yeah.
So a lot of these writers, there's not a lot of upward movement in this field necessarily. And also you aren't guaranteed to have a job, year to year, because it's the series that I was working on ended and I have to find another series to write for or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the writers live in LA or New York. And so those are very expensive cities to live in.
Oh, right.
And so they are seeking better compensation. and better healthcare benefits, it sounds like. And so, and more job security as well. And so they didn't get what they wanted, so now they are on strike. Some shows that are affected are all of the late night shows. Jimmy Kimmel, The Tonight Show, Seth Meyers, SNL, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, scripted primetime network shows, scripted cable shows, and scripted streaming shows as well. So it'll be interesting to see how long it lasts. I mean, 100 days, that was a while ago. So that was like 15 years ago when the last strike happened. But 100 days is a very, very long time. And it's, I understand why, you know, the writers are asking for, you know, better treatment, because they are the show. Like,
yeah, I mean,
and actually I was watching a video of when this happened in 2007, 2008, and Conan was on the air at the time, and he, to fill up time, he just wanted to see how long his wedding ring could spin on his desk, and that was aired on TV.
Oh.
Because they had nothing to, there was no jokes, there's no writers. Like, you know, you see, think, oh, Jimmy Kimmel's the one behind all these jokes, or Jimmy Fallon. Or,
no, he's just the performer.
they just are reading the lines
for
the most part. They are the personality, but they're not, like, necessarily writing the jokes.
They're not the wit.
Yeah, they're just the face of the show, but not the brains, necessarily. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of, like, the more, like, game show shows, like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. I've heard that they pre-tape extra shows if they hear about this potentially happening. But other than that, they will be showing reruns while however long they're on strike. I just found this to be interesting, and it will impact, you know, if lots of shows are airing right now, but they're also like getting ready for the next season, so that's going to push that back, or, you know, cancel a show altogether if it goes on for too long.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I wonder how, like, Jeopardy would actually be affected by the writers,
they write all the
questions. Yeah. So it would have been very interesting. Like, luckily, I guess they'll just be doing reruns, because if they just let other people write the clues, like,
it could go
south very fast. Like, those are very, unique clues and unique categories every single time. And, if you give it to someone else that's not particularly skilled in that area, it could be a lot less fun to listen to.
Yeah. And then Seth Meyers, he has his own late night show, and he used to be on SNL. He was quoted saying, "I love writing. I love writing for TV. I love writing the show. I love that we get to come in with an idea for what we want to do every day, and we get to work on it all afternoon, and then I have the pleasure of coming out here. No one is entitled to a job in show business, but for those people who have a job, they are entitled to fair compensation. They are entitled to make a living. I think it's a very reasonable demand that's set out by the guild, and I support those demands." So it sounds like all of the late night hosts are kind of banding together and, you know, supporting the writers, because, like I said, they are kind of the brains behind the whole show. There's no show without the writers.
Right, right.
So
you don't want to get on the writers' bad side.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this doesn't last too long for the sake of everyone involved.
Entertainment.
For the writers, for the workers.
Yeah.
For the actors and, you know, personality on TV, so they can continue doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the viewer, so, you know, don't have a crisis like 2020 when we had no shows to watch and we're watching Tag on ESPN during the pandemic because there's nothing else to watch.
That is legitimate sport, Mary.
I just didn't know that was even like a thing. But anyways, hopefully everyone gets what they are wanting and they are able to come to an agreement soon.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we have some weird news. So I will start with my first one. So the Boston Marathon was a few weeks ago, right? And there was a runner who was running it, and he had to dip out to go poo.
Uh-oh.
And he decided to go in someone's garden. And it was then caught on the homeowner's doorbell camera.
Oh, no.
So that's not great. So there's just this guy, like, squatting in someone's backyard, taking a poop. So there was 30,000 runners that ran the Boston Marathon, so 26.2 miles. Most runners would opt to use the toilet before setting off. And then if you do realize you need to go partway through, there's portable toilets set up. but one person didn't bother himself with waiting to find a proper toilet and instead just slipped off the route
and he had to
slipped
go.
Into someone's backyard.
Yeah, I wonder how far off the route he was.
Yeah, in the footage, the spectators can be heard cheering on the runners in the background while the pooper squats down. And then he just runs off and keeps on running.
No.
And it's hilarious that the doorbell camera just picked this up.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
I thought it was pretty funny, though.
So my weird news article is titled, "Guy Who Ate $120,000 Banana in Art Museum Says He Was Just Hungry." So basically, you know, art can become in many forms, and there's this Italian artist named Maurizio Colatan, who is famously provocative, based off his, you know, his artwork, and this is his most recent piece of work that he's delivered to the public, and it was a banana taped to a wall
with like duct tape.
With duct tape.
But like, what is that though?
Yeah, I don't know. The art in question is called Comedian. And it's frequently replaced because, you know, it's a banana and, you know, bananas go bad in like, you know, like 2 days at most. So it's not like this was a unique banana or anything.
Yeah, but the thing is, anyone, like, who's going to buy that or if it's even for sale? Because you just go tape a banana to your own wall, bam, you got a collector's item right there.
Yeah, apparently it was worth $120,000.
No. But then you have to replace the banana all the time. So that makes no sense.
I don't know how it... It the banana previously sold for $120,000, so the next one he gave out is just apparently worth $120,000. But it's meant to invoke, you know, everything between, you know, Charlie Chaplin's slapstick comedy, like, aha, it's a banana, you know, or it could be the fruit status as an emblem of global trade.
That's a little bit far-fetched.
So, you know, take what you want, but it spoke to New Hyun in simpler terms, reminding him that he had skipped breakfast this morning when he had visited the Seoul's Museum of Art, and it stretched past late noon into the late week, and he seized the yellow fruit and ate it, ignoring the alarmed cry of museum staffers.
So who cares though? You just replaced the banana. What's the big deal?
I mean, he just said it took him around 1 minute to yank the banana and eat it.
Right.
And then when he was done, he reattached the peel to the wall.
I mean, he should have been like, hey, when are you going to switch out this banana? Can I have this one before then you can put up the new one for the next day?
Yeah. I mean, so they reached out to the artist and he said it was fine, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be suing anyone. He's like, oh, you ate my artwork.
Because it doesn't matter because it's food.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just a banana.
Well, I'm glad the artist seems to be fine with it, because I feel like some artists would be like up in arms and be like, you ruined my work.
Yes. This artist, he puts provocative stuff up, and basically he's used to people interacting with it. So
it doesn't sound like it was supposed to be interacted with, though.
Well, probably not, but it happens. Like, sometimes people interact with artwork, and most of his stuff is not like it's comedy art. It's not.
But it was $120,000.
Well, apparently it was valued. Everyone knows it wasn't really $120,000, but, you know, the last one he sold went for $120,000.
That better come with a lifetime supply of bananas.
I mean,
so they can, you know, just
even that probably wouldn't be worth $120,000. Bananas are cheap.
I know.
So we'll have to see what artwork he brings forth next time. I'm sure it'll be another piece of fruit or something silly, and I'm sure someone will just yank it off the wall and eat it. So yeah, just another day in the life of an art museum where someone just pulls down and vandalizes some art. But in this case, it was only a banana, albeit a $120,000 banana on the wall.
No, so did someone pay $120,000, or the artist just said this is worth $120,000?
The previous iterations of Comedian, which is what he's titling this art, have sold for $120,000. So,
well, whoever bought that, they got ripped off, because I can do it. That can be my side hustle. I'll just sell that, everyone.
Maybe you should, Mary. Just submit
a banana
bananas
with some duct tape.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm all for that.
Comedian. Sell it on Etsy.
I'll be your biggest fan if you start selling bananas for $120,000.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all we have for this week, but the Kraken are playing several times in the next week. So between now or tomorrow, the 4th, May 4th, and then May 15th, potentially, if it goes to Game 7,
mm-hmm.
they'll be playing every few days. So it'll be interesting to see if they make it that far. I don't really understand NHL playoffs, how that all works.
I think it's similar to the NBA where you have to win 4 games, so out of a 7 game series.
Well, I know that, but like how many like teams are left?
So I think there's 8 teams left right now.
It's pretty good.
And I don't know if there's an Eastern or Western conference like in the NBA, but
I think so.
But yeah, it looks like it. Basically, I'm looking at their bracket and all the teams that are on the West seem to be on one side. So yeah, it's Seattle against the Dallas Stars, and then it's the Vegas Golden Knights against the Oilers. That's on the Western side of the bracket. And then there's the Panthers against the Maple Leafs, and the Carolina Hurricanes against the New Jersey Devils. So we are basically in basketball terms, the Elite Eight, where there's 8 yeah. teams left.
Pretty good.
So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You only have to win, you know, this round and 2 more rounds, and then
just that's it.
It's so simple, you know.
Only 20 more games to win.
Yeah, then, pretty much.
Well, less than that, I guess, but still.
But yeah, so Seattle came in as a wild card, basically not as like one of the top seeds, and they knocked off the defending champions, and now they're playing against the 2 seed in, you know, on their side of the bracket, and they're game up. So anything is possible, Mary.
Their record for this season is 46-28-8 games tied.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Well, I'm excited to see how they do, and hope everyone has a good week. Bye.
Bye.